At the heart of your community, this is your station. This is Swindon 105.5.
It's Swindon 105.5.
Feel good,
Friday.
Everybody needs a main attraction.
Splendid time is guaranteed for all.
Yes, I like that. A lot more of that, please.
Yeah, good afternoon to you. It's me, Sean Hodgson, here on Swindon 105.5. We're going to start off with one of those odd tracks. It's Rod Stewart, but it's not Rod Stewart. He says Python Lee Jackson with In a Broken Dream. Yeah, of course, that was... we shouldn't be going to that yet. I've done that wrong. That should not be happening. We're going to pause that. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stop that there, because we're going to play that in a second, and that should not have happened. You do get mistakes happening on these occasions, and these little things that happen. Never mind, it's me, Sean Hodgson, on Swindon 105.5. Here I am, Feel Good Friday. I'm on my own today. Dave can't be with me. He's got something a little more important to be doing, but he will be with us next week. But I'm actually not quite on my own, exactly, because I do have a guest with me. Just to say a very quick hello, initially, just to our guest, Neil Bromley. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, John.
And you're going to be chatting to us about the Swindon Fencing Club, aren't you, shortly?
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I am.
Brought in some toys as well, haven't you?
Brought in a couple of blades and a mask. Yes, I have, yeah.
I shouldn't call them toys. It's probably an unprofessional phrase to use, really. They're not toys. They're very important bits of kit, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
They definitely are. Obviously, we'll be chatting to Neil very shortly about fencing. We've also got, in the second half of the show, we got an extract from an interview with Benita Johnson. Benita was on our Wednesday show, Swindon Live and Local, and taking an extract from there and one of her songs that she played live was here in the studio. We will be doing our mystery voice and what's on in the Swindon area. But as you've already heard, so we're going to do it again now. You know what's coming, don't you? You know how this works.
It's time for the medley musical challenge. Can you name the artist? Can you name the song? In the montage that we call the Medley Musical Challenge.
Okay, yeah, we've got five artists, five songs. See if you can work out who all these people are. My guess without shouting out the answers, you see, you potentially could do that. Remember, my finger is on the ejector seat button here. more points out of 10, if it's one for the artist and one for the song, how many points out of 10 do you think you'd be going for then, Neil?
I think I'd be struggling, to be honest with you, Sean.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. On
oh,
that
right.
one.
I thought,
those ones.
Oh, right. I thought initially you were going to say you knew your music well or something. You were going to be, yeah, all right. Well, there will be some clues later, so we will come back to that. Actually, there is a bit of a link, actually. There's a connection here with one of the artists who just played here, and we're going to play a bit of Instant Karma from John Lennon.
Karma's gonna get you
today.
Like the moon and the stars.
And what we're going to do, we're going to give you your first chance now to listen to our mystery voices. We're not going to give any clues right at the very beginning. That's too obvious. In fact, I think it's a pretty easy one. Having said that, it's easy for me to say that because I put this show together. I know who I've recorded. But have a listen to this. And if you think you can work out who it is, do text us on 07900 171453. That's 07900 171453. And let's see if you can work out who this particular mystery voice is.
Sort of, I mean, there's been a 4-year gap since such a long time, but we haven't been sort of resting on our laurels. We've actually been sort of discussing and planning and sort of plotting what we've been wanting to do. I've been sort of itching to get going.
Turn to my guest in there. If you know the answer, don't shout it out. But do you think you know who that one is? Is that?
I might have an idea. Yes, I do.
You might have an idea. We can chat about that off air very shortly. Anyway, as I say, we've got our guest with us today on Feel Good Friday. We've got Neil Bromley from Swindon Fencing Club, and Neil's come in with quite a bit of kit as well to talk about that, and really just talk about fencing. So if you're out there and you're interested perhaps in taking up fencing, maybe at the end of this we will have some contact details for you if you want to go down and get in touch. Rich, could you just tell us how, maybe that's a good starting point, how did you get involved in fencing? What's your interest and your background there?
Well, going back a number of years, in fact, when I was 7 years old, the school I was at, there was an old squadron leader there who he was very much a sword fencer himself. And he offered sort of extra classes at the school. And so he sort of turned up in class one day and asked a group of sort of shiny, bright-eyed seven-year-olds if they wanted to learn how to stab each other and learn how to stab him. And I think when any child gets given that opportunity, it's normally they normally sort of bite your hand off. And that's how I started, and I've been doing it ever since.
Was there an opportunity there to release some aggression, I get a feel, perhaps, maybe, was there? Or?
Well, you know, if you have a bad day, it's certainly a good way of releasing stress, certainly going away and stabbing somebody, albeit in a very controlled and safe environment.
So what kit were you using then? I mean, did he actually give you a proper, is it foil? Is that the right word?
Yeah, there was a foil, but yeah, the school was lucky. I mean, in the same way that Swindon Fencing Club is lucky, we provide all the kit. So the school was able to provide all the kit for us, sort of free of charge. And we were then just able to sort of get involved and just start learning sort of how to use swords and sort of start getting into competitive bouts and going into having friendly inter-school matches, going into county, regional, national championships, all of that stuff now that, again, we're encouraging and wanting to develop at Swindon.
Well, if you started at seven, there are lots of interest sports, hobbies that youngsters do start, and very often it slips. What did you do to maintain it? What did you get involved with? How far did you take it yourself then?
Well, I think the big key for me was, you know, I've very, very supportive parents, and they introduced me to a wide range of activities and let me really pick the ones that I really liked, and that's something that I think is really important today. You know, there are so many more opportunities out there for young people to try and to get involved in. You know, give as many of them as you can a chance and see which one really fits for you. And, you know, for me, both of my parents were quite sporty. Certainly my father was. He competed in all manner of different sports, but he never competed in fencing. But he supported me the entire time during my sort of fencing career and took me away to competitions and helped me get my own kit and do all of that stuff as well. So for me at Swindon now, you know, having been part of the club since 1995, I think it's really important that we're able to produce quality fencers and we're able to support those fencers. And to be able to do that, we provide all the kit for them. All they've got to do is just turn up and, help towards costs of our hall fees and also our coaches. And for kit that's £300 to buy for a set, to be able to turn up and have all that kit on tap and be able to use that, I think that's a really positive way of introducing children and adults alike into what is a really great sport.
So, well, tell us about your club then, Swindon Fencing Club. What does that consist of, and where are you?
Well, Swindon Fencing Club has been in existence since about 1972, I understand. In fact, I'd probably go so far as to say we are probably Swindon's best kept secret. And it's only now that, because we've got so much kit and because we've been able to get the club to the footing that we want it to be on, that we're really sort of starting to publicise ourselves. And certainly, so, you know, for anybody who's listening out there today, we really want to hear from anybody who's any schools, primary, secondary schools, colleges that would be interested in starting fencing or trialling fencing as a sort of an introductory sport in education. We meet at New College on a Wednesday evening, off Queen's Drive. We have a junior session that's from 7 till 8 o'clock, and then adults from 8 until 10, and we meet every Wednesday throughout the year.
Could somebody just turn up, or do you prefer people to book themselves in and get in touch with you first?
Well, again, we think, you know, we've got sort of, I suppose there are two sort of two different scenarios here for us, really. For juniors, you know, for young children who are picking up and putting down different activities, be it music, drama, dance, ballet, all of those sorts of things, any number of sports, we don't really think it's fair to tie parents in to saying you've got to sign your child up for a 6, 7, 8 week course. We think it's much fairer if the child and the parent comes along on a week by week basis, and, you know, can turn up and can pay fees on the door. That's not to say for those that enjoy the sport and want to take it further, we offer a sort of a standing order basis, so it then becomes cheaper, because that then helps balance the books. For our point of view, we then know what money's coming in. So for juniors, for children, absolutely turn up any Wednesday. We'll provide you with a kit. We've got four professional coaches. They'll be able to look after you and give you a good time with a sword, stabbing them, and importantly, stabbing a friend.
Stabbing a friend. Okay, bring a friend along and stab one. That's interesting. You say you've got four professional coaches there. What was the training that has to be, the coach goes through to be regarded as a professional coach, be able to put themselves forward as a trainer?
Well, typically coaches are normally experienced fencers themselves. They know what it's like to compete at certainly regional and national level. They've been there and have that experience. And I say that really because for young people and for people wanting to get into competitive fencing, you know, it's very important that the coach is able to support the competitor in understanding what they're going through and any nerves they might be having and all of that sort of stuff. It's not really a sport that people can just turn up and say, I want to be a coach in. They need to have experienced it themselves for, I would say probably 3 or 4 years if they're going to give a quality product, if they're going to be a quality coach for that individual. So they need to have experience. And then they then need to sort of enter into a sort of a mentoring program. There's the British Academy of Fencing, which runs some fantastic courses. And also the British Fencing Association as well have a mentoring relationship where you come under the wing of a more qualified coach, and they look after you and train you and develop you over, you know, a period of months, depending on your experience yourself.
With this, I mean, I was just chatting a little bit off there before we go on. I've tried it a couple of times myself, and obviously there's a lot of, I'm going to get the right word, lunging, and end up, you know, putting your weight on one knee, which left knee or right knee, whatever, and my knee swelled up. I did it twice, yeah, over a 2 year period. It went back and came back again. It happened again, and I thought, oh, actually, this is not for me. It didn't work out. But is it one of those sports whereby it's a great shame because I really enjoyed it, but it just hurts so much. Is it one of those sports whereby it gets you fit, or you have to be fit to do it?
Well, Sean, from what you've described there, I'd suggest that maybe you had a poor coach, poor coaching technique in terms of there shouldn't ever be weight just on one leg. You should always need to be evenly, your weight should be evenly distributed, so you're then able to move forwards and backwards quickly as you need to. But no, I think it's a sport that It can be what you want it to be. We've got many fencers that come down and just fence socially. We've got fencers who come down and compete to a national level. We've got a teenager at the moment who's been selected to fence for the Welsh national squad. We've got two others who have been selected to be sponsored by the British Fencing Association to take them up to international level. We've also got a veteran fencer who fences in the over 60s and has been fencing, you know, for many years. So it's what you want to make of it, really. And I suppose as we've moved on to sort of talk about sort of adults, we run bespoke beginners courses that typically last between 8 and 10 weeks. And again, we then for anybody who does that, we provide all the kit over that period of time. We then provide an hour of our coach's time working on a one-to-one level with people in a group to be able to understand about the sport and understand what they need to do. So over the time, they do have an introduction into all three weapons, and they're able to sort of to build their confidence and build their skill level over a number of weeks.
You're listening to, we've got our guest in today, we've got Neil Bromley from Swindon Fencing Club. And Neil, I give you the opportunity to have a look at our 20-odd thousand database of songs, and you've chosen, well, you can choose what we're going to be listening to here.
We're going to be listening to my favourite band and my favourite song by my favourite band. It's The Wonder Stuff with Vic Reeves, It's Dizzy.
Hi, why not join me for a brand new show on a Saturday night? Saturday Night Fever. From 8 o'clock, I'll be playing some fantastic music to get you in the mood. There'll be a quiz, totally useless trivia, and loads, loads more. Why not join me every Saturday from 8 p.m?
With Phil Ballard.
Welcome back. It's me, Sean Hodgson, here on Feel Good Friday. Said Dave can't be with us this week. He's otherwise committed. But I am joined by my guest, Neil Bromley from Swindon Fencing Club. And as we're just hearing there just before, the track Dizzy, which was chosen by our guest, Neil, about some of the members of your club that are obviously progressing and through championships and going off. And are they representing the club, or are they representing Wiltshire or something, or Swindon? How does it work?
Well, I think sort of... First and foremost, they represent their school, then their club, and then their county. So if we look at some of the, I suppose, success stories that have come out from the from the club recently, we've had two girls, and I should say at this point, one of the great things about fencing is that it is competitive, regardless of whether you're male or female. It's not about physical brute strength. It's often about cunning, distance, being able to try and draw your opponent to make a move that you can then capitalise from. Sometimes.
So when people in competition against each other, it could be male against female. There's no separate leagues or champion or whatever the right terminology is.
In a national, in terms of a national sense, or anything where there is an actual sort of, I suppose, like a county or regional competition, then the sexes would be separate. But typically, if you're coming along on a fencing club night, there's absolutely no reason why men and women wouldn't be fencing one another.
Right, okay, I understand.
And often the women do much better because they seem to be quite devious.
I was going to say cunning. I thought, I'm not going to say it. Well, you've said it already, so it's fine now.
Cunning's a better word.
It is, really, isn't it? Yeah. And we're not going to edit that. That's out. No, it's ouch. It's live. You must remember that. Okay, so go on. Right. So we got some members who are obviously developing their career-wise, so to speak.
Absolutely, Sean. I mean, when I look at sort of, we've had two girls, one who's been in the under-10s and one who's in the under-12s. Alicia Owen, she came first in the Wiltshire County Championships held last month. Her great friend Alicia Biggood came in third. Then when we look over to the boys, Oliver Hodgson, he came first in the under-10s category. We've also seen, again in the under-10s, he's now going to be fencing in the under-12s, of course, but last year Ben Simmons, he's a bronze medalist nationally, so the third best in the country, and he's come through Swindon Fencing Club. So there's some really great stories, certainly for the guys who are quite young, the fencers of tomorrow.
So what did you say? You should say if he's the third best in the country, what, in his age category?
Yeah.
Does that mean potentially in 5-6 years' time or whatever the kid... We potentially could be looking at an Olympic athlete here. Then is he in that category, so to speak?
There's no reason why with the right guidance and with the right training that he couldn't
Wow, that's great
to compete at Olympic level.
That's wonderful. Wow.
He's a difficult little so-and-so to fence.
Is he cunning as well, then? He takes lessons from the women, does he?
He knows what he's doing, which is good. And they all do. They're all showing a great deal of development. It's, you know, certainly for, in my experience, you know, initially I wasn't a terribly sporty person, but it was fencing that actually brought out my love of sport. I now love all sports, but it was fencing that really helped develop my self-confidence, helped develop my coordination, flexibility, speed of movement, agility, all of those really great things that you need in life, really, to be able to sort of, to lead a full life. So fencing really was the catalyst for me that enabled me to play good standard rugby, hockey, cricket. But my first and foremost love will always be fencing.
You mentioned about, obviously, what the nature of it is, and it's about, you know, drawing your opponent. Well, you expand on that a little bit. It's not just about being fearsome and being aggressive and going out. There are tactics here, and there's a lot of thought processes that go into this. So just to sort of expand on that, what is it that's being done? Because if you just look at it from the outside, it's two people going backs and forwards trying to jab each other with a piece of metal. But within that, there's obviously more.
Yes, I mean, I think there's certainly comparisons that can be made with boxing, for example. You're seeking to hit your opponent without being hit yourself, obviously without the same amount of physical contact and bruising that you'd necessarily get with boxing. It's also it's a bit of a cliche, I suppose, in our sport, but it's been described as a physical game of chess, because you're analysing, you've got a limited amount of time, a limited amount of hits to be able to beat your opponent. So you're analysing what they're doing, seeing where their strengths are, seeing where their weaknesses lie. And then being able to sort of capitalise on it, draw them into a situation where they feel uncomfortable, to enable you to capitalise and to score the point ultimately. So there's a lot of practice that goes into it. We typically see, you know, some of the children that I've mentioned there, and the sort of the under 10s and the under 12s, moving on to our teenagers as well. You know, these guys will be fencing two or three times a week. They'll be fencing competitively in a club environment, and they'll also then be doing individual one-on-one lessons. And that's why we've seen people like Zoe Sheehan, Nick Dobby, they're both now sponsored by the British Fencing Association. They're moving through the national rankings, and again looking to be able to represent Great Britain in fencing.
You mentioned that there are is it a match you play, is that the right term?
It would be a bout, a fencing bout.
Okay, there are time. What how's it actually happen? Is it the three bouts? It's not 15 like boxing, is presumably, is it? Or is, I don't know, how's it work?
Well, if you go into sort of a typical competition, what they'll do is you go into a pool system. So for ease of example, let's say there was 16 people had entered a competition. Those 16 would then be split into probably two pools of eight. So you'd then get a ranking out of two pools. As the person who would have won all their fights, say, all their seven fights, 5-0, and the person who came last would have lost all their fights, 5-0. And you then compare the rankings of the two pools, and then you rank people out 1 through 16. So the person that's got the most number of hits would then fence the person with the least number of hits, and you then go into a direct elimination. So one fence is 16, two fences 15, so on and so forth, until you're down to 8, and then from 8 you then go down to 4, then down to 2, you've then got your final.
What we're going to do, we're going to play another track now. We're going to stay with Neil. Neil's still here, and afterwards he's going to be chatting to us a little bit about some of the kit he's brought with him, because I can look at it here, there are various types of swords in front of me, which obviously I know nothing about, so I'm not going to comment on them whatsoever. But we're going to come back to that in just a couple of minutes' time, after we've had Up the Junction. The Junction by Squeeze. We're going to give you one more chance to listen, or another chance. There's going to be plenty of chances before I come out with the clues. In fact, I'm just going to asked our guest, did you know our mystery voice? Can he sound so confident when he said it earlier on? And who did you say it was? And some of the people might be saying the same as you.
I thought it was Lord Sebastian Coe talking about the Olympics.
Because it's the 4 years business you were thinking, wasn't it?
There we go.
Okay, now we'll play this, and maybe later on, I will give some clues. And if you think you know who it is, then do text in on 07900 171 453. Have a listen to this now.
There's been a four-year gap since such a long time, but we haven't been resting on our laurels. We've actually been sort of discussing and planning and sort of plotting what we've been wanting to do. I've been sort of itching to get going.
itching to get going. 4 years. Well, it was a four-year gap. There was a four-year gap between something, but it wasn't. It wasn't the Olympics, and it's not sport. Although the person talking about is athletically very fit, but he's not an athlete. So I'm giving some negative clues, I suppose. I'm eliminating some things in some respects. Anyway, this is Feel Good Friday with myself, Sean Hodgson, on Swindon 105.5, with my guest here, Neil Bromley, from the Swindon Fencing Club. And obviously you brought some kit in with you there. So just looking at some of these swords or foils, I forget if they'll get the right term. You've got three different types here. I'm presuming one of them may be for a child as opposed to an adult. But apart from that, what are the differences between them? What are we looking at that marks out the differences?
Well, we've
what
got,
do they do differently?
We've got three different swords here, Sean, and they all of them have different target areas or have different uses, I suppose. So yes, you're right. The sort of the child's one that I've got in my hand here is quite a flexible blade. It's got a small guard to protect the hand, and that's actually the foil. You said the foil is one of three weapons. So we have the foil, the sabre, and the épée.
Oh, right. Okay. So foil. So they're not all for foil. Is just one is a very specific name within a sword. Then
yes, correct.
Got you. Okay. So that's a child's one then.
And the foil is the target area for foil is just the trunk of the body. So not the head, not the arms, not the legs. The history of the foil. Of course, all of these swords have a historical significance because they would have been weapons of war. So before we started shooting and bombing each other, swords were the order of the day. And you'd typically pick up a foil to be able to protect yourself in a duel because if you learnt how to use a foil properly, you could protect the core part of your body where your vital organs are, the liver, the kidneys, the lungs, all of that sort of stuff. As long as you could protect that part of the body, chances are if you were challenged to a duel in the 15th or 16th centuries, you were going to survive. So that's the history of the foil.
You say a weapon of war. Is it? I'd find it difficult to think this is a war weapon because apart from the fact it would have been pointed and not sort of flattened off as these are, compared to the other types of swords which you don't want to talk about, the chopping down and charging around big swords. You should just hit somebody with this. It'll hurt, but it's not going to kill them unless you stab them, is it? Really, I find it difficult. It's a weapon of war.
I think the sort of the distinction to draw here is that fencing is now an Olympic sport, so everything's blunted, and it's a sport. It's a battle of wills. It's a battle of mental agility to try and score points off your opponent. But if you rewind the history books far enough, then absolutely they had a historical and military purpose.
Okay.
It brings me on quite nicely, actually, you mentioned it, to the second sword, which I've got in my hand, which is called the sabre. And the sabre is unique as a sword because it's the only one you can score a hit with the point, but also with the cut of the blade. So if you were to look down the length of the blade, it's triangular in shape, and there's a valley that runs down it. And on the outside edge of that valley, that would have been sharpened. So that if I couldn't actually skewer my opponent and stab them, then I could at least maim them with a cut. And the history behind the sabre weapon is that it's a cavalry sword, so that the officers on mounted horseback would charge into the infantry, basically slicing and dicing as many of them as they could. And that's where you get the fact that it's a sword that you can hit with the side of the weapon with a cut,
yes.
Rather than just with a point.
I can see the difference.
And also, as I mentioned about the sort of the different target area, if you can imagine somebody who is on horseback, of course, their legs are astride the horse. So when we fence now and we fence with sabre, sadly we don't, we're not fencing on horseback, but the legs are considered to be part of the horse. So in sabre, it is just the top half of the body that's the target. So in sabre, you include the head, you include the arms, and you include the torso. Whereas for the foil, you're just only talking about the pointy part of the blade making contact with the core of the body, the torso itself.
And you're probably going to laugh at me for the very nature of saying this, I suppose, really. But is there anybody, if you think of like polos, like hockey on horses, is there such thing as fencing on horses? I mean, has anybody tried to bring that back or anything?
I think the closest you'd get to that would be jousting, to be honest.
Oh, right, I suppose some people might going to complain of the damage, the potential injury to horses, I suppose, as well, can't they, I suppose?
Well, yes, indeed.
And you can't do that inside, can you, either?
Not really. And also, you know, the whole musketeer thing, we just, if we got through that, the number of chandeliers we'd get through, you know, just swinging from those and you know, ripping down curtains and things, it would cost a little bit more money.
That's just happening on a New Year's Eve party then, does it?
There we go, absolutely.
Yeah. So the third one you've got there, what's that particular, is that a different one?
The third and final weapon that we've got here is called the épée. And that is the dueling sword. So in effect, it's the big brother of the foil. It's got a much larger guard because in épée, the whole body is the target. It's the most of the three weapons. It's the most easily viewable in terms of television because there aren't so many rules. It's essentially a fight. As long as each opponent hits the other, so you then start bringing in sort of the coloured lights and the refereeing system. But if you get both opponents hitting each other simultaneously, they've both scored a hit. They'd both, arguably, were it to be a real duel, be dead. So they both score a hit, which makes it a lot easier for people to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And with the épée being the whole body is the target. Again, it's a weapon that you can only score with a point only. And again, you know, typically people will aim for the bits of the body that stick out. So you get a lot of hits coming around the wrist and the hand because as you're standing on guard, it's the wrist and the hand as you're holding the sword that is closest to your opponent.
Okay, so which one, what do you use then when you're not training or
which is my
coaching.
Specialism.
Yeah, what's your specialism? Yeah,
my specialism is foil. I mean, I love all three, and there is a lot of banter between the purists of each of the three weapons. Which is the better weapon? Is the sort of eternal question. But my one is foil. I just enjoy the fact that it's a smaller target area, so I've got to be more precise. I like the fact of being able to protect my vital organs, really. Foil's my weapon of choice.
But you say protective. I mean, when in competition, when you're training, you're fully protected anyway. There's no chance anybody could really get seriously hurt.
No. There's you know, apart from sort of the various sort of aches and strains that you get with any physical activity, it's a very, very safe sport. We have, you know, the amount of kit that people have to wear, and again, that comes back to Swindon Fence Club again. We provide all the kit, so it's not something that we have to ask our members to go off and get immediately. But, you know, for each person, they have £300 worth of kit that they're wearing. So that comprises Kevlar. A lot of the kit is made of Kevlar, so the same stuff that bulletproof vests are made out of. We wear sort of an under jacket, a chest guard, a jacket, a mask, and a glove to protect ourselves. So it really is very, very safe indeed. There's no, you know, there's no danger issues there at all because people are very sensible. Like they are carrying swords in their hands, and you know, people just enjoy the thrill of the duel, I suppose.
And you've got a particular day coming up, haven't you? An open day, or not an open day, but an invitation day? Is it something?
Well, absolutely. I mean, as I said at the sort of the top of the interview, really, we're very, very keen to access schools and community groups and really widen the opportunity for children to try the sport. And hopefully ultimately join Swindon Fencing Club. So certainly, you know, today, if you want to get in contact with Sean, we really do want to hear from anybody interested in starting the sport. But tomorrow morning at Wootton Bassett, sorry for the short notice here, folks, at 10 o'clock at the Lime Kiln Sports Centre, they've got a sports and activities fair, and we're sort of headlining that from 10 o'clock onwards, and we're going to be there for people to come along and try fencing as well. It's not necessarily sort of the full-on stuff. We've got there's a very good fencing, set of kit called Mini Fence. So this is for children from the age of 7 upwards who can literally turn up. We'll give them a plastic mask, a plastic sword, a protective tabard, and they can literally within 5 minutes start stabbing a mate. So again, they get the idea.
Start stabbing a mate. I just love that phrase. What are you doing today? Oh, I'm going to go out and stab my mate. Oh, that's good then. It's all right. It's well protected though, Dad. And it's organised. There are coaches there.
For any child, surely they'd then be saying, come along, Dad, why don't you come along as well and I can stab you?
Yes.
You know, we'll have all the gear there. So anybody interested in coming along, they can put the gear on very quickly, have a bit of a quick go, and then we'll certainly give them all the information they need if they want to turn up at the club in Swindon, or if indeed the club can travel to a local school or community centre and get more children and get more people active in sport, because that's something I'm really, really passionate about. You know, the levels of obesity and levels of inactivity, you know, I really want to see people leading more
active lives. And if that means that people love fencing, then that's great. That's a win-win situation.
Well, what we're going to do, we're just going to play a medley one more time before, as we come up towards the news. It's almost 10 to 4 now. And then we'll come back to Neil just to give us all the contact details and just in case you've missed anything earlier on. So we're just going to play this medley one more time, see if you can work out who these five artists and these five people are. Okay, yeah, there we go. Five artists, five songs. Any close with those marks out of 10 there, Neil? Are you?
I think, well, I've gone backwards, if anything.
You've gone backwards. That's no good. Tell you what, you've got you read out all your contact details anyway. So if somebody out there is wanting to get in touch and find out a little bit more about fencing, how they can get in touch with you.
Well, the best way is really just to come on, go online. If you Google Swindon Fencing Club, you'll come on our website and find out everything you need to know there. So, as I say, Google Swindon Fencing Club. Or you can email us, which is swindonfencingclub@hotmail.co.uk. swindonfencingclub@hotmail.co.uk. Or turn up at New College Sports Hall on a Wednesday, anytime between 7 o'clock in the evening and 10 o'clock in the evening. So, as I say, the easiest thing to do, though, is to get online, Google Swindon Fencing, and we'd love to hear from you.
That's great. Thanks so much for coming in. And I think we'll be inviting you back sometime later in the year. I think there's a lot more here, isn't there?
Well, hopefully. I've got some children that I look after who are going off to the national competitions later on this year, so it'd be great to be able to maybe bring one of them in and they'll be able to talk to you about it, how they enjoy it, and you can hear from them what they think about the sport and why they love it.
Oh, great. Thanks very much. We're going to continue here with Milk and Alcohol. Dr. Feelgood.